Today's Taisho is on Case 12 in Mumon Khan. Case 12 is entitled, Zuigan Calls His Master. Zuigan Gen Osho called to himself every day, Master! And then answered himself, Yes, sir. Then he would say, Be wide awake. And then answer himself, Yes, sir. Henceforth, never be deceived by others. No, I won't. Mumon's comment. Old Zuigan buys and sells himself. He takes out a lot of god masks and devil masks and puts them on and plays with them. What for, eh? One calling and the other answering. One wide awake, the other saying he will never be deceived. If you stick to any of them, you will be a failure. If you imitate Zuigan, you will certainly play the fox. Mumon's verse, clinging to the deluded way of consciousness, students of the way do not realize truth. The seed of birth and death through endless eons, the fool calls it the true original self. Wow, fifth day. How do you feel about leaving the hotel sesshin? I know, first few sesshins, it used to be always mixed feeling. There was part of me which used to think, get me out of here, please, my legs are screaming. I was telling you yesterday, right? Yeah, that my first sesshin, among other things, what happened was Imtiaz used to sit way more still than I could, right? And we were not supposed to talk to each other. So he would sit still, even sit through sits, and I would barely make 10 minutes at a time, and then I would need to shuffle. You know, I've been so impressed by people here, but my first sesshin, on top of all of this, at one point I saw Imtiaz talking to one of our beloved friends, John, and Imtiaz was actually, Imtiaz was probably checking out if he got a tick. New Jersey has a lot of ticks, so I don't know, they were probably talking about something innocuous. And in my mind, the story that I made up, Imtiaz has not now gotten enlightened, and he will now have no relationship with me, and I will be all alone, and my life is doomed. I will always be alone. There was one nice person I met, and even he's leaving me because of this darn enlightenment. I really thought so. I'm not kidding. It's, you know, in Vipassana circles, there is this thing they say during retreat, you know, there was a time in, actually in Goyanka retreats, we still do that, you know, women sit on one side and men sit on other side, and it has its complication, you know, what do people do who don't like to identify in those two categories and so on. There are other things too, but you know, when the classic story is, you go to a retreat. This is a Vipassana tradition joke. You're sitting next to, so I'm saying it from the perspective of a man, but it could easily be the other way. Or maybe you are a woman and you're sitting next to a woman and you feel a sense of attraction. You haven't spoken a word, but by the time you finish the retreat, you have three kids with that woman in your mind, right? You see what I'm saying? Our mind is capable of Kurt used to say, you know, we are like always excluding, releasing stories, right? Sometimes they are quite funny, like Imtiaz leaving me because he has gotten enlightened. So, fifth day or second day, last day for all of you. And the question always is, among other things, what next? And we'll talk about that. But before we talk about what next, and also this con, which is so beautiful, lovely, I just wanted to, you know, just make a few general observations. You know, I can't remember name of that Roshi, but there was a teacher, Kurt told us this story too. At the end of a five-day sesshin, actually they used to have seven-day sesshins in Japan. I believe it was Edo Roshi's teacher, Soen Roshi, but I could be wrong about it. But the story is true that at the end of the sesshin, the teacher said, "You guys, you have made no progress, so you'll just start all over again and do a seven-day sesshin." Wow, no one laughed here, but we used to be like giving out nervous laughters. We are not, it's not possible to do such a thing here, but what I was trying to get to is that, you know, as a facilitator, as someone who's watching everyone's journey from when you first arrive to how people were showing up for interviews yesterday, it's a real privilege and honor to see, you know, it's hard for us to see our own path. It's only from a distance we can see the mist, right? When we are in the middle of the mist, unless it's thick fog, you can't really see it. It takes perspective to see where we've been, right? And I get the honor and privilege of seeing, watching your journey. Even before you utter a word in the Dokusan room, I can see from your body language several things, you know? I used to always wonder how my teachers could tell, you know, like how ripe I am, but I'm so grateful for all of you for trusting the process. Both Imtiaz and I are trusting the process. Some of us have never met before. You just took the leap and came here or said, yes, we'd like to do the retreat. I mean, these days you can look up things on the internet, and yet, you know, it takes trust. And sitting there listening to everyone's, you know, it's like what states of mind they've been at, I really, really felt so moved. And there is a spectrum, right? Some people report things which indicate that they have seen a glimpse of the blue sky. We were talking about that yesterday. And some people report different clouds, right? Thick, dark clouds, or sometimes whiffs, these little, just bouncy, fluffy clouds. And, you know, one thing that I didn't cover yesterday is, what are the clouds made of? That's a huge con in itself. When we see a cloud and it feels dark or light, we start releasing more stories about those clouds. Very human. But what if that cloud was made up of sky itself? That cloud coming to us in our sits, especially during a retreat, is a sign it wants to be seen. At our orientation, Rosie was telling us, if you see a wild being. If you see a moose, moose wants to be seen. Right? I think she was quoting a teacher she might have heard it from. But when we see clouds, when we see dark clouds, when we see our self-doubt, maybe even self-hatred, if we see our fear of death, if we see how angry we feel at our father, how confused we feel about what to go and tell our girlfriend, our boyfriend, when we feel confused about our relationship with money, when we face the insecurity of what will happen next month and where will we pay the bills, what if that cloud was a sacred, sacred guest? It actually always is. I mean, there is a part where we play things just in loop, right? We are just stuck in a circle. And there is a creative way to deal with these guests, guest clouds. But the fundamental thing I wanted to say was, every cloud that shows up at our door of consciousness, please be a curious host. You know, a moo practice aside, no matter how many times we have touched the blue sky, as human beings, we always gonna have these clouds. And if we neglect them, we'll become like those, even if we kept practicing and got in touch with deep mystery, deep moo, we'll become like those traumatized Zen teachers who end up abusing their own students. I know I didn't talk about this with the weekend group, but I touched on this earlier at the retreat, right? We have to watch those clouds with utter humility and curiosity. The moment we begin to put those clouds in a closet, we create more problems, regardless of our relationship with deep mystery. Okay, so it's true, Zen as a tradition, as a contemplative Buddhist tradition, is very masculine. It's like, go get it, right? The coach is saying, go, 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 right? And it's like, yeah, scream, shout, yell, bam, bam. It's one of the teachers I work with, Genjo, it's like Dokusan room is like, just like, oh my God, what are these guys doing? It's shout and yell and screaming all the time. Very martial atmosphere. And in that martial atmosphere, it's easy to forget, neglect the role of being a curious, loving, kind guest. It's like, get the clouds out of my way. I am on my way to enlightenment. We can't control what view we get. I mean, it's true, Imtiaz and I kind of have in mind, if we go up this trail, you could look at the peaks from this angle and so on. You spend enough time on a landscape, you take a certain path, you get the view you thought you were going to get. But when we are experimenting with our consciousness itself, right? We are here, scientists working with our consciousness. An artist works with a paintbrush. Yeah? Aiden plays shakuhachi. He's working with his voice. They are working with their voice. You know, each artist has their medium. They say different medium. As Zen practitioners, as practitioners of any meditation tradition, our medium is our own consciousness, our own heart-mind, right? So when we begin to work with that medium, it's like really playing with our own consciousness and trying this and trying that and seeing what do we see. We don't get to control the view. We don't know when we will see the blue sky or the mystery it holds next. The only thing we control and can take some credit for is our effort. It's good, it's okay to enjoy our effort. It's like I did a 40-mile hike. I can't do it. I'm just making it up. I would be dead. For me, just going down these little hills, it's like, Imtiaz, go slow, please. But if you made this hike of 2-day retreat or 5-day retreat, and this was your first one, or first one in Zen tradition, please pat yourself at the back for your effort. But when we start taking credit for what view we got to see, that's when it becomes problematic. That becomes arrogance and pride. It's very common, Imtiaz spoke about this on third day, it's very common, human, it's very human to feel pride. It's like pasting a photo on the Facebook. Oh, I got this view when I experimented with my consciousness. It's like, so that, many teachers have written about it. That's spiritual materialism. You know, some people show off their cars, their clothes, their shoes, and on and on. You see where this is going. We don't take credit of the view. When we start taking credit of the view, we are burying some of the clouds in the closet. One more little thing here about, someone mentioned yesterday, that they do have faith in mystery. Faith in mystery. It's like, in addition to faith, work this journey, this path of Zen. Philip Copley wrote this very famous book called Three Pillars of Zen. He said, faith, having faith that there is something beyond what we can touch and feel and hear, that is crucial. Number one, all of us wouldn't be here if subconsciously or consciously we didn't believe that there is some mystery beyond what we can touch, feel, and hear. Number two is determination, that I'm gonna do all it takes to touch it, right? And very related to this sense of determination is this is crucial. This is why I love the analogy of us being scientists of consciousness. I know Goyanka Ji also uses it a lot. You know, we are scientists of consciousness. The third thing is great doubt, great curiosity. Just having faith is not enough. Just having determination is not enough, right? Or just having curiosity without determination is not enough. That curiosity is like, it's like, I remember my days of doing the PhD doctoral research. My work was very tepid, lukewarm, till I really became so curious about what the hell is happening inside these microbes. I was working with these microbes and I could take a lot of time to explain my research, of course. At first it's like, oh, following someone else's literature, some thesis, and you have a lukewarm relationship with it. It becomes fire, it becomes alive only and only when curiosity comes from deep within us. It's like then practice blossoms. Okay, so let's talk about this koan now, and we'll touch on some of these things that we talked about. Zuigang calls his master. See, what is happening in this story, there is a person, right? We could pick on Imtiaz. So that Imtiaz calls to his own self every day, "Master!" And then he himself says, "Yes, sir." And then Imtiaz says, "Be wide awake." And then he himself says, "Yes, sir." "Henceforth, never be deceived by others." "No, I won't." Imtiaz is crazy, yeah? It's a beautiful Zen koan. I didn't talk about this too much yesterday, but Zen tradition has these very paradoxical stories that don't make sense to our discriminating thinking mind. It's like they shut down your mind. What the heck is happening here? This one is a little funny, and the paradox might not be immediately clear, except seeing that, oh, this person is making a holy fool out of themselves. But you think a little bit, at first level, it can feel like Imtiaz is talking to different parts of himself. You know, there is a tradition in psychology which is called internal family system. Some of you might have heard of it. It's like you have a part which is afraid, you have a part which is feeling courage, courageousness, and you have the two parts talk to each other. You're about to enter a new situation, and you have these two parts have a dialogue with each other. It's like, forget external help, external counseling. Just having your two parts talk to each other will show a path forward. Yeah? And that is actually very, very effective for many people. I often recommend it to people. There are teachers from Tibetan lineages who've actually devised a Buddhist version of this, where they say, create a dialogue in your mind with yourself, which is 10 years older than what you are now. You see? Or they might say, you have a part in you which is feeling very lonely, very lonely, or unlovable. Yeah? Very basic human condition to feel unlovable. There is a part of you which is shrunk in a corner like an unlovable, dark green, shrunken being. And have that shrunken being which wants to hide in a corner, talk to that being within you with love. I think there's a name for this practice at Taramandala. Feeding your demons. Actually called feeding your demons. It's very powerful. I've done it sometimes, and it's given me insights which were really, really so helpful. So in this koan, you could say, well, part of what is happening is Zuigang is motivating himself. Zuigang is having a conversation with his bigger mind, right? There is a small mind, right? The Imtiaz that gets up every day, worries about what to cook next, you know, on and on. I don't want to pick on Imtiaz too much. He might get mad later on. But and then there is the big blue sky mind, right? Or the flowing river mind, or the throbbing volcano mind, the lion mind, right? Space mind, you see? So you could say, well, this is a dialogue between small mind and big mind, right? The small mind, big mind is asking the small mind, be wide awake. Yes, sir. Never be deceived by others. No, sir. If it was just that, this would actually not be a good con. I mean, there is a level of that everyone deals with when they work with this con, but in truth, it's going deeper. It's really asking, who is the small self? Who is the small self? You see, if you are in the observer mode, okay, I want everyone to close their eyes at this point if they were not already closed. Right now, you are listening to my voice, right? And you're observing yourself listening to my voice. Okay? So there is the observer part of you. There is observer part of Thomas. And then there is a part which is hearing. Do you see what I'm saying? The two different things. Who is that? Who hears? Who is that observes? How did that come about? It's this line of questioning. It's called haitu. It's a different tradition than koans. It's like when you breathe, you simultaneously ask the question, who breathed? Who took a breath? When you hear, who is it? Right? There is an interesting dynamics happening between the observer mind and one which is actually, quote unquote, doing something, listening, hearing, seeing. It might not make too much sense, but hold it in your closet of things to be looked at a future time in your practice. This is the heart of this koan, right? Who are these two selves that are talking to each other? It's easy to imagine one of them being big self and the other one being small self, right? My thinking, discriminating mind that observes, talks, hears, sees, right? That's Kriti. And then there is the mind that when I surrender my small self, that emerges. The volcano, the space, the blue sky mind. But is it really so? This was just to pique your curiosity and to say, please be a curious, kind host for all your guest clouds. They have a message. They have some feedback. They have something to tell us. They really do. It takes a while to know what the clouds are made up of. But we cannot find their true nature unless we invite those clouds for tea. And it's painful. If I feel fear of death of my mother, or if I feel fear of being unlovable, that's very hard to look at, to stay in conversation with. When we leave today, you know, this has been our controlled lab. One of the teachers I work with, Genjo, says, "You were at Sashin. This was really a controlled lab experiment, right? We did these many hours of meditation every day, and we did chanting in a specific way. We were trying to activate our energy, activate our hara. And the real test lies down the mountain when we go back home. Yeah, of course we carry the questions that have emerged here when we go back home, but the real life, the real issues about money, job, relationships, sickness of parents, maybe children, maybe the question whether or not we should have children in this wild world. You know, there are a lot of millennials in this room, I know. One thing that just bewilders me so much, I am so happy to see each one of you here. I just feel like the world that we have created has robbed our younger brothers and sisters, including you, of so many opportunities because of the way our economy works, right? I meet a lot of young people who say, "I'm just barely struggling to make my ends meet. How am I going to bring children to this world?" Or you guys, you baby boomers, or you Generation X, you guys have left so much mess. We just have to be, you know, we can't make a full life. Millennials as a generation have least probability of being able to own a house or have a full-time job, on and on, right? And that's just heartbreaking. No one brought this up here at this session, but that's the underlying reality that many of you would be going back to. And it's like, you know, some clouds are like personal, family-related clouds, or you can never separate the two, but some of these systemic issues, they're just very dark. And the reason I bring this up is because sometimes we blame ourselves too much. Our criticism for our own self, our critical voice, it fails to distinguish between what is our society's systemic problem versus what is ours. You see, and Buddhism has traditionally done this too. You are feeling sad, go back to your hara. Right? You don't have a job, go back to your hara. Yes, going back to hara can calm our nervous system and bring our brains from fight and flight or freeze modes of action to modes where we are engaged, we are better listeners, we have a healthy sense of self. Maybe we drop our ego sometimes and come up with creative, courageous solutions. But it is very, very crucial to discern what is personal reaction and I can work on that, and what is the systemic issue? Because we blame ourselves endlessly. It's like I was saying the other day, you know, to this day in Indian villages, women are not given money to go to school, right? Men get to study, women don't get to get education, right? Or there, you know, there are many issues with sexism and patriarchy in India, very gross ones. And so imagine a woman practicing, and there are actually stories of this in ancient Buddhist literature, where women didn't get education and they felt they couldn't be their whole selves. They didn't meet their full potential, and they just kept blaming their own self somehow. That if only I was good enough, my father would have loved me and I would have gotten education. You see what I'm saying? We internalize a lot of pressures that are systematically existing in our society because we haven't fixed our centuries and centuries of trauma, right? And haven't had clarity and courage to fix our domination systems. The reason this is alive for me, yesterday I made a comment about Sasheen payment, and then I was just so moved and also bewildered that people who I had already talked about that they were on scholarships, they came and offered, oh, we would pay, or we would pay more than we've already paid. And in some ways it broke my heart. I felt like, did I make them feel guilty by speaking about money? I hope it makes some sense. It's like, maybe it doesn't fully, but I wanted to be honest about that. You know, things are fine. I was just inviting folks who hadn't paid to let me know, but maybe I shouldn't have made a full announcement to the whole group. Imtiaz and I come from what I consider, you know, the top 10%, not 1%, but because of our education privilege and so on, it is just totally clear to me what needs to be done down the mountain, among other things, is to look at our crazy income inequality. And I don't have a clear way. I struggle with it. This is my ongoing koan. How to do it, how to grapple with it. But I am personally just so delighted that you are here. Zuigan Gen Osho called to himself every day, "Master," and answered, "Yes, sir." Then he would say, "Be wide awake." "Yes, sir." "Henceforward, never be deceived by others." "No, sir." Things will get very confusing very soon. I mean, maybe they already feel muddled up, but there are chances, even if you are not fully conscious of it, all of us have experienced some clarity, like some thinning of clouds, even if just a little bit. Sometimes it's subconscious. We go down the mountain, we go back to the mad hot world. I really have started liking this phrase. It's mad and hot there, right? With people going around on steroids and Viagra and then lipstick on top. It's like mad world, mad hot world. Please, please try to discern with the clarity that you might have garnered in these 2 or 5 days. I'm sure there is some, even if you're feeling tired right now. Please try to discern what is your role in where you are and what is society's systemic role. Then we get to own responsibility for what we are doing to ourselves versus what the system is doing to us. Some of our interpersonal issues when we are facing systemic issues become so crazy. Someone that has enough financial resources facing sickness of a parent is in a different situation than someone who's not. Right? So we need that compassion, utter compassion, clarity to see, discern that difference. Zuigan says, don't be deceived by others. Don't be deceived by what the system is doing. Don't think this is our own. A lot of self-criticism comes from just the crazy systems we are living with. I want to end with, I will read the Hindi version first. I'm reading a quote by Vinoba. Vinoba was Gandhi's spiritual heir. When Gandhi did civil disobedience in India in 1942, he prepared people for many years. Or I should say, people prepared themselves. They went through a lot of inner work. And Vinoba was the first person Gandhi asked to lead that Quit India campaign. And I just, this is like an old tattered book. And I just love every single word of it, because Vinoba didn't do Zen. Then many people who haven't done any things then, but what he writes, it's like it activates my heart mind. So it's so beautiful. I'll read the Hindi version first and then I'll translate it. Mukt man ko main khali akash ki upma deta hun. Bahar se vyapak, andar se shunya. Akash mein hawa chalti hai, dhool udti hai. बारिश बरसती है पर आकाश को उसका स्पर्श नहीं. उनको अवकाश देना है इतना ही. मेरा चिंतन जारी है पर चिंतन आकाश को स्पर्श नहीं करता. I call free mind. Free mind is like a vast blue sky. It is vast from outside, zero from inside. There are a lot of winds and dust and rain. There's a lot of rain, dust, and wind around, but sky feels untouched. I keep thinking, strategizing, but dust, rain and wind don't touch the sky. When I stay there, this is not part of what I read in Hindi, but when I stay there, he says elsewhere, I enter Mahaguha. Mahaguha means great cave, deep cave. There are only a few hours left, practically less than 2. And one of them will have Dokusan and the other would be chanting and closing circle. Please, please come back to the sky and the clouds with an open heart, curious and kind host attitude. That attitude is sometimes the biggest obstacle. May I add patient, curious, patient, kind host. There is nothing that attitude can't melt.
Shujo Muhen Segar.